Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is March 2nd, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have our guest, Mrs. Maureen Hughes. She's the author of the book, The Countess and the Mob. And this is a story about, and hopefully I can say her name right, Marijan Savinchinigo and Mafia Lord Johnny Roselli. And she actually became a bodyguard for this lady at one time, and then later on, well, she can tell the story tonight about how their relationship developed. But the book is about this lady's life. It was a well-known newspaper owner. I think she had a newspaper at radio stations. But we're going to let Maureen tell the story tonight. And let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Hey, fans. I just want to say I thank all the fans for tuning in every Wednesday night. And we want to thank everybody for their continuous support. And we just want to say we have a great show tonight. And without further ado, we would like to ask Ms. Maureen to formally introduce herself, and let's get this party started.
Good evening to both of you. The book, The Countess and the Mob, was published a year ago. An exciting book to write. It was an education for me in the 3.5 years of research. My background is law enforcement, and I was a bodyguard for Marijan Savinchinigo, who was a Central Illinois newspaper heiress. She was a VIP, and that was all I knew about her at the time. The 36 hours that I was with her constantly, I got to know the lady. I learned she had a villa in Italy, a home in Champaign, Illinois, and a home in Thunderbird Heights, California. A very interesting lady. She inherited the newspaper from her parents. David Stivic bought the newspaper back in during the Depression. Champaign was a struggling community, which, if you didn't know, is currently one of the top 10 universities in America. He combined the two local papers into one, calling it the News Gazette. His background was the newspaper and radio business, and Marijan then inherited the paper from her father and mother. A lot of interesting stories about Marijan's growing up are in the book, and then her introduction to Johnny Roselli, who was a protege of Al Capone. And due to health reasons, Roselli had to go to warmer, drier climates, which became California. They were introduced at a well-known restaurant, and that is where Marijan's life took off. She was also married, she did marry Johnny Roselli, but he had a roving eye, and the marriage did not last that long. She went on to marry Buddy Rogers' brother. She married a World War II hero, and then finally a count from Rome, Italy, Count Michael Kinigo. Now, Michael had a history of his own, and it was never fully uncovered whether or not he had strong mafia ties. It was my understanding in doing the research that he did. Their marriage lasted a number of years, but that ended also in a divorce. Marijan was a very beautiful, very exotic woman, very vibrant. She was a good friend of Frank Sinatra, Loretta Young, Joan Crawford. She traveled the world. She had dinner with Fidel Castro's mistress, Aunt Fidel. Like I said, it was an education for me to do the book. And the people I met and spoke with in the research was fascinating. I spoke with First Lady Barbara Bush, two movie stars, two authors, and two showgirls that worked at the Dunes and the Stardust. And those two ladies knew John F. Kennedy and Frank Sinatra and Marijan Kinigo.
So let me ask you, Ms. Hughes, what made you really wanted to do heavy research on this young lady and to really write a story on this life piece? And what do you look for your readers to get out of this educational piece that you put together?
I was fortunate, if you will, enough to obtain a tape where Johnny Roselli made a confession to Marijan Kinigo concerning the JFK assassination. Now, when I decided to write, or certainly first do the research, Marijan, as I said, was a very interesting woman. When I was her bodyguard, I saw one side only. Then she had an art exhibit in Champaign. She was an accomplished painter, did beautiful landscapes. When I attended one of her exhibits, she was present, and I saw a whole new side of her, which was fascinating. At that art exhibit, I met a man, and we got into a discussion about her. And at that time, he said, "Oh, I could tell you so many things about her." And I said, "Please do." Well, 3.5 hours later, I knew enough about Marijan that I wanted to do research. And the research kept getting deeper and deeper. Her connection with Roselli, I learned through friends. And also, I should mention, Marijan Kinigo had several readings by the world-famous Greta Alexander. And Greta warned her about the death of her final husband, Michael Kinigo. And I would be giving away too much if I went any further with that. But the book will give you some insight that has not been published on the JFK assassination and on the life of this woman.
Right. So with that being said, we'd just like to ask you, can you give the viewers a little bit about your upbringing and your background and, you know, what just led you to stay on the straight and narrow coming up, or your flaws in life to get to the point you're at in life?
I consider myself very fortunate to have been raised in the Midwest. I was raised on a farm. I decided somewhat early in my teens that I wanted to be a law enforcement officer. I pursued that career when females were not, for the lack of a better word, even welcomed in that field. It was something that I definitely had to prove myself at. I enjoyed the work. I worked on the south side of Chicago with the Illinois Youth Commission. I worked with gangs, five in particular. I had hoped to set an example with the young adults and the children that there was a better way to live. There was a better life out there. I did not have to go through the struggles that they did, but I'd like to think in my heart that I was an example for some of them, at least.
Big Dad. Well, that sounds great right there, you know, of an individual that grew up trying to make a difference at a very young age and a very start. And the more you learned about the young lady, the more you got intrigued with learning more research to complete this great book right here. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. I was able to use my talents and my education in the research of this. I have to say it was a difficult research. People did not want to talk. And if they did, we had to go to secluded areas. It was a fascinating research.
Okay,
the fact that people wanted to go hide, I guess, and talk about, obviously, the mafia ties and different things like that. That makes it more intriguing, I guess.
I think you're right. I guess I expected people to be more open. But those that, well, as the book will tell you, many did not want their names used at all. And there were two professional guns that I spoke with, and one even used a, I can't think of the phrase I want, but he disguised his voice. We only spoke on the phone. And that was interesting. And the sad thing I found out about the professional guns was both of them had what seemed to be nice personalities. One had a very dry sense of humor. And why on earth they couldn't pick another job, another occupation, but they didn't. I have to say they were very good to me. They knew what I was doing. I was very upfront and honest with them from the beginning. And I always knew they could see me, but I couldn't see them. And that was fine. To me, that just proved that I was on the up and up and trusted that they were too.
Right.
I think the readers, anybody that gets the book, find it extremely interesting from a historical point of view, how the lives of two different people in two different worlds meshed for a while. And the countless people that knew them from all walks of life. And, of course, Johnny Roselli was in Florida, was much like Capone was in Chicago. Everybody loved Roselli in Florida. And this is partly why I'm going there for the book tour.
Did she have a relationship with Roselli, or were they just friends?
Yeah, they were married.
They were married. Okay.
Yes.
So the count wasn't her last. Was he the count
no.
the last marriage?
Do
you say
yes,
she was married
she became
five
a times? Count, yes, she became a countess when she married Michael Kinigo. He was an Albanian count and was educated in, Connecticut and Rome.
Okay.
And
yeah, I don't know too much about Roselli. So he was kind of like Capone, you said, down in Florida.
Yes. He was, you've read how Capone was loved by so many people in Chicago. He started soup kitchens, gave shoes to children who came from poor families. Roselli did much the same thing. In Florida, he spent a lot of time in California, in Nevada, and Florida, and that was eventually where his body was found. He testified at a Senate hearing about the JFK assassination, and it is rumored that that is why he was killed. The mafia was just afraid he would say too much.
Right. Now, what was her relationship with Lucky Luciano?
Friends. When Marijan loved to have parties, and she loved going out, and not just anywhere, but special places, the Tropicana, wherever she could be seen and noticed. And, of course, Roselli and Luciano were friends. And if she was with Roselli and they happened to be at the same restaurant that Luciano was at, then they would share a table.
Right. Now, how old was she when she took over the newspaper business?
Quite young.
I saw a picture. I was looking up some information about her, and I saw a picture of her dad when he brought her in to train her. It looked like he was training her on the machines or typesetting or something.
Yes.
There in the newspaper company.
Yes. And that's another thing. Marijan knew the business. She did not really want to be a part of it so much as she wanted the glitz and the glamour of the wealth that it brought in. But Marijan was very familiar with the newspaper business.
Now, she just died in 2002, so what
yes.
happened to the newspaper? Who took over?
It went into a trust. It is still in operation today. There's a foundation. And Marijan did a lot of good for Champaign, for the University of Illinois, which is where it's in Champaign, as well as the newspaper. And it's still in existence. It's still a very functioning news media.
But she didn't have any children?
No. No, and that is explained in the book.
Okay. And the radio stations, are they still in business?
Yes,
they
are.
WDWA,
yes. Yeah, They have been going for years. I should also mention that Marijan's mother, Helen Stivic, worked with a couple of attorneys and the governor of Illinois and got Willard Airport started, which is connected with the university. And in its birth, it was the largest airport owned by the by a university in the United States.
Now, when you were her bodyguard, she was in the hospital just because she was who she was, and how long did you...
I was with her for 36 hours straight, never left her side. And this was another thing. In the book, it will tell you that during the night, she had she started talking in her sleep. And I will be giving too much away. But let me put it this way. Her last husband did not die a natural death. And that was part of the reason that Marijan always had to have a bodyguard.
Okay. Now, who was her last husband?
Michael Kinigo.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael Kinigo.
So Johnny Roselli, did they get divorced or did he die?
Yes,
or?
No, they were divorced, yes.
Okay.
He had been seeing actress June Lang, and Marijan found out about it. And the one thing about Marijan is she could double-cross you, but don't even think about double-crossing her. Yeah, I know.
Well, there you go. That's the way to be.
Yeah, really.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, Rob has the book, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet, so I can't wait to read it. It sounds like an interesting book. I love to watch all the stories about the old gangsters. And, you know, one thing you said, too, right now, though, that these guys were very nice and very giving, and you know, no matter how many old, drug dealers, gangsters that we talk to that have, you know, gone to prison, made it out, or whatever, I hear stories about all of them, and no matter what they did out on the streets, they made the money, and they still gave back to their neighborhoods and families and people as well. So they, you know, they did wrong, but they did right as well, and I think that kind of goes across the board.
I think you're correct, and that was something else I found interesting. I was born way after Al Capone, but I read the stories, the histories, all of that, and these men were very intelligent, and they obviously, to a degree, had a heart and a soul. I did not and do not approve of their means of financial gain, but you're right. It's strange that they fell into this kind of life.
Right.
But it, again,
they didn't start out to be bad people. It's just the circumstances and things that kind of led them, and they, I think, like the money and the glamour and the glitz, and
yeah,
and it just developed, you know.
Yes.
a lot of you know, people that we talk to say we didn't want it to happen, it just happened that way, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And most of them were immigrants. Roselli was, Capone was, and they grew up very poor, but saw men with money, saw people with money, and decided, you know, that was for them. So.
Right. Now, back in the days, Chicago was like one of the main places, and I think I remember reading somewhere a while back that they kind of split up and sent representatives to different states to try to start their own mafia organizations or their own groups or something. Is that why Johnny Roselli was in San Francisco?
Actually, no. Johnny came from a large family, and tuberculosis ran in the family. He had health issues, and he personally went to Capone and explained that his health was deteriorating in Chicago due to the cold and the wind and the dampness. And Capone, showing favor on Roselli, transferred him out to California, where the air was much better and drier. So that's how he got out there.
All right. You know, we do have a couple of callers on the line, and I want to give them the chance to let them ask a question, or if they have a comment or something. We're going to go to the caller, the last four digits of your phone number, 7550. Do you have a comment or question for Maureen? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm sorry. I was just listening. I didn't mean to press the...
Oh, that's
okay. But it's so
okay.
Interesting. Yeah, it was just so interesting, and that I was going to ask her about her background, but then Rob... This is Yolanda, by the way. You listened to and Rob.
Hey,
how are you? Great.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing super. I'm just really enjoying this because she just reminded me that when she was talking about the Capones and the and I guess when I grew up and you guys grew up too, I believe it was John Gotti who was I guess the criminal hero of our time, I guess in a sense. And people forget, and I guess maybe or don't know that just because someone is doing wrong doesn't mean that they're not a nice person, you know, because I heard so many stories that I didn't know now about John Gotti, about how, you know, he did a lot of things. And when they showed, like, some of the old trials, I mean, he had a big fan following. And so I was going to ask her about how she got involved, but you had already asked her, so I guess that was all I was going to say. But this is just so interesting. Now I have another book I got to get. I have so many books now piled up, but... this is just so intriguing, you know. Being a writer myself, people fascinate me, I mean, from all walks of life, so I guess that's, I can really see the fascination with that and wanting to tell someone's story. But it's just very good to listen to.
Especially somebody that you actually know and worked for and was close
wow.
to.
If I could...
For Maureen to not see that other side, though, until later, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, that's... And I want to tell you something. When Yolanda brought up John Gotti, Marijan knew John Gotti.
Oh, wow.
I learned that very late. And at the time, when I was writing the book and doing the research, I chose not to mention that. There were things that I really could have put in the book that could have been very hurtful to people and that are still living, still relatives, and I did not want to do that. That was not the purpose of the book.
She
knew
the guy. And she lived a long life, and I'm sure she knew a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she had a lot of power, I'm sure, with having that newspaper and the radio show.
She did have a lot of power, an awful lot of power. Oral Roberts knew her. There was just countless of people that I did name in the book. Thank you, Yolanda.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. I'm really enjoying this.
Good. Yep. You said there was another caller?
There is. Let me see if I can get them on the line. Yolanda, just stay with us and keep listening.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm going to go to the caller 0409.
Already taken care of.
Hello, caller?
You're on that call.
Caller with the phone number 0409.
Okay, I guess they just listening in.
You like, sweetheart? I told you what upset me.
Hello?
Not the least of which was having the damn door opened.
I don't know what that is. Somebody talking to somebody. Okay. That was strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else?
Maybe I should put that over and listen, but I wouldn't be too nice.
Yeah, that was on another page right there. I was like, you know, is that serious tonight online, you know? Yeah. But it's all good, you know what I mean? Because we're definitely spreading that message, and we're definitely having a great time with Miss Hughes tonight. We're going to go to two commercials, and then we're going to come right back with Miss Hughes. Stay tuned. Right back.
Okay. The money. The rise to power. Violence, gangs, drugs, death, self-destruction, prison. The true life story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd. A must-read book. This book will be available online worldwide to order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and at Human Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The streets don't love you back.
I knew I had hit rock bottom when I started shooting up. That was my lowest point because I just was like totally out of it. I wasn't even there no more. I was just gone. My name is Tanya. I am 15 years old. I'm from Douglas, Arizona. I started using meth when I was 12. Basically, my life was totally destroyed. I mean, I had ran away from home, and so I didn't have nowhere to go. I wore the same clothes every day. Like, I only showered like maybe twice a week. I didn't have nothing left. I mean, nothing at all. I didn't even have no shoes on my feet. I thought I knew everything. I was like, you know, I'm not going to get addicted to this drug. It's not going to hurt me at all. I can control myself. But in the long run, it, you know, I couldn't control it. It's like meth controlled me.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
All right, welcome back here to the Streets and Love You Back radio show. And like we promised, we're kicking it live with Ms. Hughes. And we just want you to just tell the fans, if someone is trying to get into writing their own book or their own script or what have you and don't know how to go about doing that, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, there are agencies. Now, would you, wait a minute. Would you go back and explain that again, your question?
That's it. For a lot of the young writers out here that's trying to get into being an author, write their own script, what kind of advice would you give them?
Right. I've been told that I'm my worst critic, and that's okay. It's constructive criticism. I started writing when I was 13, and I have written hundreds of articles for magazines and newspapers. Keep plugging away. Don't get discouraged, and take the criticism and turn it around into something positive. Just stay at it. Discipline yourself. I had to do that. My life was very busy. My life is still very busy. I'm currently working on another book on a cold case. But stay with it. You know what you're good at, what you like, and don't give up. Don't give up. My mother gave me a saying one morning when I woke up. It was on my bulletin board, and it says, whatever you can do, do or dream you can do, begin it, and then keep at it until you succeed.
No doubt. You know,
yes,
we definitely would that.
I still have that piece of paper, and I look at it every time I get down, you know, and think, I can't do this. Well, yes, I can.
Amen. That's what time it is, you know. We got another call on the line with the last four digits, 0409. Let's see what they're speaking
That's
on
the
tonight.
Same one that...
Okay, we got 7550.
Well, that's Yolanda.
Oh, okay. Well, we still rolling then tonight, you know. We'll pass it back over to the missus.
Maureen, you said you grew up in the south side of Chicago.
No, I worked in the south side of Chicago.
Okay. And you worked in law enforcement there?
Yes.
Can you recall... maybe something that you remember from working back then as far as gangs and drugs in the Chicago area?
Yeah.
That you had to deal with?
Yeah, I worked primarily in the Robert Taylor projects, some in Cabrini Green, but I was shocked at what the youth was involved in. But on the flip side of that, I saw sparkling eyes and big wide smiles, which told me there was still hope for these kids. There were
what
a
years
lot
were
of,
you working there?
I'm sorry.
What years were you working there?
Back in the 70s.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and finish, Ms. Hughes.
Yes.
You can finish your story. I just wanted to know what years you worked here. Relating to when the gangs got started and everything back then.
Well, the Black Peystone Rangers were very powerful. The Red Devils, the Devils, there were just several. And they were all gaining strength. This, of course, was after the riots that occurred in the 60s. And these children looked at the gang members as heroes. You know, they were the heroes of the projects. And this is where I and so many other people came in to show them another life, another way. A good example of a success story is Mr. T. Do you remember him? Yeah. He came from the Robert Taylor Projects. And he has spent a good part of his life telling kids, you can rise above it. You can.
I think he did the Be Cool, Stay in School stuff for a while, too.
That's right. And education is the key.
That's right. Yeah, definitely.
Can you tell the fans about your upcoming events that's coming up?
The week of March 6th through the 11th, I will be in Florida. I have book signings at Williamsburg Landing in Fort Lauderdale, the Court at Palm Air in Pomono Beach, and a couple of other places in Lauderhill, Florida. So I'm going to be busy.
Give me your website.
And they can order your book on Amazon.com?
Yes, they can.
Are there any other websites I can order it from? Or?
Yes. Let me give that to you. www.countessmaureen.com.
www.countessmaureen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, Miss Hughes, can you give us a few more encounters of success stories that come from that area? Because I'm quite sure you know a lot of to show these youths and others that you can be up wherever you want to be in life, you know, and you don't have to, you know, because you're born in the ghetto, you don't have to stay in a ghetto because that's where you're born at. That's just where your starting point at.
That's
you know?
Right.
And where you end up at, it's on you.
That's correct. There are people out there, there are organizations out there that will help you rise above that. It's hard. I understand that because you eventually have to go back to it, your parents or whatever. There is help out there. There are people like you and your wife that are doing a wonderful thing. You are getting the message out there via the radio, and that is wonderful. Stay in school, no matter what you have to do to get there. It's not just the kids in the projects, in the ghettos, that have struggled with school. That has happened since the beginning of time.
Right. It's a global thing, not a hood.
Exactly.
Thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and don't let peer pressure win you over.
That's for sure. Got to be a leader, and if you're going to be a follower,
right.
Follow the right people.
That's right. That's
right.
Exactly right.
So, we're gonna take a few minutes to go into our intermission with our announcements for the night, and we'll turn that over to my missus to announce the announcements for this evening.
We have both of our books out right now. Never Hit a Woman just came out. That's about domestic violence and abuse. And, of course, we have our Streets Don't Love You Back book that came out last year. And you can order both of them off of our website at streetsdontloveyouback.com, or you can go to lulu.com/thestreetsdontloveyouback. You can order the e-books. You can order the paperback. And both of them are awesome reads. I'm still working on my book about gangs and drugs and violence in America, and I've titled that Under Pressure, A Melting Pot of Corruption. So I've been working on that one for about a year, and I'm not sure exactly when I'll be done with it, because every time I think I have all my information, there's just so much information to put in a book like that. Order these books, get Maureen's book, and you know, check out our website. We have lots of cool videos and lots of resource information, and a lot of good things out there. We have a lot of groups that we have that we are trying to have people join so that we can get more interaction and net marketing within different cities throughout the United States, so that we can get groups of people together and come out and do rallies and talk to the kids, the youth groups, the schools. So let us know if you want us to come out and talk to your school or your church, youth group, or whatever. We're trying to get everything up on the calendar so we can keep busy. Anything else you want to say?
Right. With that being said, you know, we just would like to just thank everybody once again for always tuning in on Wednesday night, and we ask you to continue to tune in and support the radio show, the movement, and support other people who come on the radio show with their message as well. It's all about each one teach one, reach one, learn one. So once we all stay on that core, I think we will definitely conquer the things we set out to achieve, you know. So with that being said, we'll turn the mic back over to Ms. Hughes.
Thank you. I think there's one thing that I have not mentioned. Another avenue for the youth is their church. I think between their companionship, their friendship with God, and their staying in school, they can win the war on violence and gangs and drugs.
Definitely.
Amen.
They all have to be willing to stand up and stand for something.
That's right.
You know?
That's exactly right. And you two are obviously leading the way, and that's wonderful.
Thank you again, Ms.
I should tell you that Amazon.com also carries my book, and you can order it through that, as well as the publisher.
Tell us a little bit more about, if you would like to, the book that you're working on now, the new book.
I can. It is a cold case. Shortly after The Countess and the Mob came out, I was contacted by an Illinois legislator who hired me to investigate at the time it was a 53-year-old murder. It was ruled a suicide, but I proved that it was a murder, and I know who did it. And that is, the research is over, and I will start writing it as soon as I get back from Florida.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
So did they get the murderer?
No, but I know who did it. And it will be brought out in the book.
Wow.
Sounds great, you know.
It was a cover-up.
Does that scare you, Maureen, though?
No, because the murderers are now deceased. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. They were, the whole case occurred in the 50s.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay.
What's interesting
because
is,
if they're alive, I'd be like, uh-oh.
Yeah, no.
He might come after you.
Exactly. Well, people haven't forgotten. And
exactly.
Yeah, the area that this occurred in, the people do not want it brought up. So I'm not a real popular person where the case occurred. And records were destroyed, and they're, quote, missing, and that kind of thing. And with diligence, I got to the bottom of it. But, again, people did not want to talk to me in public, about it. So.
Right. And you know, there, I guess in some instances, things that after so many years, I mean, things happen, and it hurts a lot of people. And years later, it just hurts to bring back the pain, or they don't, you know, they just don't want anything to happen to them, even, you know, 25 years later, 30 years later.
Oh,
people
yeah.
People still don't want to talk about certain things.
Well, and that's correct. And they did not want it, because it was a cover-up, they did not want the truth to be exposed. And this is what I'm doing. So.
Well, yeah, that sounds like a good story, too.
It
right,
is.
Right.
It really is.
Yeah, that's
you know,
one
and
of
that
situation.
happens so often that, you know, a lot of times we don't even know.
Oh, yeah. It's something that is still going on.
Right, definitely.
Right, and it will continue going on.
Yes, unfortunately, you're right.
Yeah. Right, you know, and that's why, you know, we have to continuously stay on the journey of, you know, playing our part and doing what's righteous, you know, at all
That's
times.
Right. Yes. Yes. And it's an uphill battle, and I hope see it won. I hope you and your wife and so many others that have struggled to make the state, make the country a better place, that we can do it.
Yes,
we can,
ma'am.
See it done.
Yeah, and we all have to work together as a unit, and that's what I try to get over to the young youth out here today. It's a unity thing, and if you don't know, don't be scared to say you don't know. If you need help, don't be scared to say you need help.
That's right.
I think
yes.
A lot of kids get stuck on not asking and not telling, that they
need
help.
Well, yeah, because it's not cool. Well, there's not a stupid question. Anyway,
exactly.
So.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm going to turn the mic back over to the missus.
Being in law enforcement, I just saw somebody in our chat room. She hasn't asked any questions yet or anything, but she represents a lot of youth that are in detention centers and prisons, and especially those that were very young and put in prison for life. What's your opinion on children being sent to prison for life?
Well, when you say children, I assume you're talking juveniles, correct?
Definitely, yeah. Young teenage children.
Yeah. That I have a variety of feelings, of opinions on that. I'd like to say that none of them would be there for life, and if they are, they've obviously committed a ghastly crime. But to me, there was a reason for it, something in their life, something in their upbringing, and it's a shame. It's a shame. Without going into great detail on this, my first 5-6 years of my life was not good, and that's just an understatement. But you can do one of two things. You can let this eat away at you. You can repeat the same mistakes your parents made, or you can take that and make something out of yourself, be a better person, be a better parent. Now, I want to clarify something. My birth parents were not the parents that raised me. So that's why I want to be careful. I don't want to make it sound like the two people that I called mom and dad. They helped to mold me into what I am today. But I still have very strong memories of my early, early youth. And I could have gone the other way.
Right.
So,
there's one girl that there's a petition out to try to get her out of prison, and she's been in for several years. I don't even really know the whole story, but she was abused and made to prostitute over and over and over from very young to through her teenage years, and then. Eventually, she got so fed up with it, she murdered the pimp that had done all this to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one serving life.
Yes, I disagree with that. I do. Yeah. Yeah, that should be reevaluated. She's just going to become part of the system. And that's not right.
Right. This is what she writes on our chat room here. She says, children are being led into the adult court system and discarded into the adult prison system unnecessarily.
Yes. Yes. That I agree with.
And the other thing that I bring up all the time, too, is that not that this young lady that I mentioned did anything. I mean, she definitely, she did what she had to do to probably save her life.
Yes.
But there are a lot of children out there that are doing the wrong things because that's the only thing they know. That's the only thing they were taught. So how can you punish them if they didn't know right in the first place?
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, and I think our agencies are just swamped with children like this. It's a shame. It's terrible.
It's gone. I guess still just like the adult prisons with all the men that are in there that shouldn't be in there. You know, we have drug dealers and people in there for using drugs that are in there for life, and people that have committed murders come out in 8 years, 15 years.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
There's the system's backwards, and
yes,
you know,
yes,
these
yes,
kids in there need to get. You know, there might be a few that need to be in there, but most of them need to get help and to be able to continue their life, I would say. And if
yes,
they continue making
the
wrong decisions
productive
as an adult, then they definitely belong there. And, yeah, this girl's name is Sarah Cruzen. But her story is pretty interesting, and I'm sure she's just one of many with the same similar story.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You know, there's so many
hundreds.
Young girls out there that are being, you know, exploited and made to do things that it's just horrible. You know, I can imagine them wanting to kill somebody. I, you know, I'm sure I would too.
Well, sure. And it's a game of survival.
Right.
And this is where you and your husband come in. You're out there. You're public. So it's a wonderful thing that you are doing.
Well, we're doing our best to bring awareness and to try to educate people.
Yes.
But there's still a lot of work to be done, that's for
yes,
sure.
Yes, there is. Yes.
Well, we appreciate you coming on tonight, Maureen. It was very, very interesting, and I can't wait to get your book.
Good.
From Rob.
Good. And I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate you coming on. And we want to just say once again, give that website out once again and to let the viewers know what to go get that book one more time.
You want the website?
Yes, ma'am.
www.countessmaureen.com. And Maureen is spelled M-A-U-R-E-E-N. If you Google my name, Maureen Hughes, you will read a little bit about me and the book, and it'll tell you where to get it. Amazon.com or my website. Now, I don't think you allow people to use emails. They can also email me.
Go ahead, Ms. Hughes.
All right. The email is maureen9@netzero.net.
And that's just the number 9?
I'm sorry.
Is that just the number 9?
Yes, the number 9.
Okay.
maureen9@netzero.net.
Okay.
All right, then, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank Ms. Hughes for coming out tonight. And if anyone missed the show tonight, you already know you can log on and listen to the show again in the next 15 to 20 minutes after the show. And it will be there forever and ever for you to listen to it. So we want to just thank everybody once again. And any last announcements?
Well, I would have to say God bless you too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And God bless you too. And especially on your journey down to Florida.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. But
you'll have to let us know how it goes.
We'll do.
Keep in touch with us and
sure will.
We'll keep networking together. God
All
bless
right.
you and have a safe trip, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you,
well.
And good luck with your new book. You know, let us know when that comes out.
Oh, I will. I will.
All right. Okay. Have a great night.
Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go out tonight with God in Texas song, and we're going to just say, hey, tune in next Wednesday. And the Mississippi
Yeah,
Chagy
next Wednesday night we have Lisa Terrell Perry Amos. She grew up in Newark and now lives in Atlanta, in ATL. Lisa grew up around gangs, drugs, and violence, went through an abusive relationship, and now she's out trying to help everyone else as well. So we're going to hear Lisa's story and talk to her next week. It'll be interesting. Don't miss it.
No doubt, no diggity. So we definitely thanking everybody once again, and a very informal show tonight. And once again, don't forget to log on and grab that new book, Never Hit a Woman. And like I said, the book is for men and women, you know, so definitely grab that, you know, start learning how to understand and how to sit down and communicate and, you know, let's stop all this abuse and let's start getting some understanding. You know, that's what time it is. So once again, we thank everyone and God bless. And always remember, the streets don't love you back.
Good night, and we'll meet you back here next Wednesday night. Have a great week.
And protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy, swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice, so nothing can hurt me, even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working, every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care, I say, Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray. Yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way. Lord, how precious your love and your grace and your countenance. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, now I shall repent. Yeah, with all of my strength I will fight with an iron fist. Lord, the freedoms of hate and the fear today don't exist. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy, swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me, even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working, every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. With enemies close all around, I will call your name. Yeah, and slaughter the weak, you quickly with no thought or shame. Lord, for my heart is firm in your hands, so I'm no disgrace. Lord, I'll hail up your name every day with a smiling face. Boy, I never can give in a praise to your tenderness. Lord, to be in your infinite grace is my happiness. Yeah, no matter the time or the place, you're omnipotent. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, so I shall repent. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy, swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice, so nothing can hurt me, even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working, every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. Yeah, we tried the long rocky road. The buffalo soldier fights the power, freedom, war. The last step on the throne, the conquering disciples, burn your congregation. Yeah. Collect your security, rebuild a better nation, time beside the unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war, but brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory, petty things. We're crumbling our destiny, but we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love. So I will always strive to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.